1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. There is a noteworthy distinction between being as one together and merely agreeing. Simply because people agree doesn't mean they are united as one. Considering the divorce rate in America today, it would appear many men and women who have gotten married don't really see themselves as having become one, still seeing themselves as two individuals who have a contractual agreement, yet somehow they're together, agreeing but basically independent of each other. When we are one, it is us and we, but when we only agree, it is just you and me. The Lord said in Matthew 19, 4-5, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female," that's two, "and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother," that's two again, "and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Two becoming one, and that's more than agreeing. That is becoming unified as of the same mind and purpose. His face in her face in his face, unified with singularity of vision, which is God's idea of marriage. One, two, three. Simple numbers which everyone uses one way or another every day. To some people, numbers are a problem, and I suppose that is easily seen in U.S. math skills as compared to the rest of the world, the U.S. ranking 24th out of 29 countries. That's not too good. But tonight's topic isn't about numbers as something to add or subtract like in a summation, but more in the sense of how it relates to the Lord and ourselves. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a live broadcast from the late evening cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean down and every evening is pleasant. Go with me a little ways and let these words sink into your ears, and I'll be right back. Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God is one, perfectly united, of one mind and purpose in the same space. He is altogether and endures no division. All his parts are in unity, not harmony, because to be in harmony, it takes two or more, but in unity, as in one person. The word for one in that verse is the word echad, meaning one, one in the same, as one person. By himself, he is sufficient and plenty, with no lack or distraction. By himself in the universe, before and after time and for all eternity, beyond all horizons, God is one and is sufficient. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost do more than just agree. We're talking perfect unity here. As the Father sees, the Son sees, and the Holy Spirit sees as the Father, with no other thoughts or variants or hidden agendas. His sight is singular. He speaks with one mouth. What one hears, all hear as with one ear. God, who is one, is only one in the sense of priority. He is to be first, the highest priority in our hearts and minds. In Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord was speaking something to Israel about himself, which was vital for them to know. Israel had just come out of Egypt, where the people of the land had defied many gods. Additionally, Israel was poised to enter a land where inhabitants were steeped in worship of many supposed gods and goddesses, and it was vital they know that the Lord God was one and was the only one. Another scripture which is foundational in the oneness of the Lord of the starfields is Isaiah 44, verse 8. Is there any other God beside me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. This says the Lord is one, as in unity, and there is not another. He is saying in Isaiah 44, 8, my paraphrase here, I am the only God, and seeing as how I am God, if there were other gods, I would know them, and I don't know any. In our land, today's people seem to have many gods, and we're also especially encouraged to include ourselves as gods. Idolatry is truly thick amongst us. Some may call themselves God, but that doesn't make anyone God. It just makes us arrogant, blind, and dead. On a side note, personally, I'm very pleased I am not God. I wouldn't know what to do if I was, and I'd be saying, I don't know, a lot. Also, I am very, very pleased the Lord is God. He has all the answers I need, even to the questions I've not asked yet. Jesus calls to us to believe in Him and join Him. Jesus, by way of the cross and resurrection, created a path for us to be included with Him. God, who is one, has now included Himself with Himself, and God plus us makes the number two. Thank you. Matthew 18:20. For where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Two is a number of balance, diversity, partnership, and marriage, among other meanings. When Francis Havergal, author of the hymn Take My Life and Let It Be, was a teenager, her parents moved to Dusseldorf, Germany, where she was placed in a German school. She was the only Christian among 110 pupils. The others made fun of her, teased her, even persecuted her. Her response, "It was bracing," she wrote. "I felt I must try to walk worthy of my calling for Christ's sake. It was a sort of nailing my colors to the mast." In light of that, are your colors plain to the world around you? Are your colors run up the flagpole of your life, or are they fuzzy and unclear in order to get along and not offend anyone, just going along to get along? In 1 Kings 18:21-40, Elijah went up against the 450 prophets of Baal. But it wasn't just Elijah. It was God plus one, which was the majority. It was truly a dark day. But Elijah passionately nailed his colors, so to speak, to the mast for all to see. The Lord includes us and shines bright in us even when we are weak and fearful. He is alive in us and includes us in His plans. When the Lord is with you, remember that even the most feeble light is best seen in the thickest darkness. Don't be afraid to nail your colors to the mast. Two is a wonderful number. God plus you makes two, and you plus God is the majority. After all, Romans 8:31 really is the truth. If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead that I would have life and have it more abundantly. The Christ of God included me with Himself. God plus me makes two. And if I'm included with the Almighty King of the universe, I am part of the One. That is an amazing heritage. The One Himself is also three. We call Him the Trinity. He is one and He is three, and the three in perfect unity in mind and purpose. Three includes one and two. John 2:19. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Three really is an interesting number. Three. Pythagoras calls three the perfect number, expressive of beginning, middle, and end. Therefore, he calls it a symbol of deity. Man is threefold, or having three parts incorporated together, body, soul, and spirit, as spoken of in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The word is threefold, as in earth, sea, and air. The enemies of man are threefold: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our Christian graces are threefold, or having three parts incorporated together: faith, hope, and love, in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Anything labeled as cardinal means something of foremost importance or paramount. The cardinal colors for TV and computer screens are three in number: red, green, and blue, and are electronically mixed together to make different colors. The three witnesses of John 5:8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and so on. And of course, above all, is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is one and three. Neil King stools also have only three legs, because the ground surface the stool would often be set on was uneven, and a four-legged stool would always be rocking, the fourth point always looking for its resting place. Three points are always balanced. Triangles are made of three points. Anything less than three points is just a straight line between two points, and a fourth point added to the three points is always looking for its own plane. Bridge supports, roof systems, floor truss systems, to name a few, are built in a series of triangles, which are geometric shapes made of three points. The number three includes the numbers 2 and 1. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the triune God, three persons in one, and the three more than agree they are one. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Father is God, and He is one with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Jesus is God, and He is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 1:8. But about the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom." The Holy Spirit is God, and He is one with the Father and the Son. In Acts 5:4, Ananias was told he lied to the Holy Spirit, that he lied to God. That's three. God is one. God in us. That's two. God who is all in all, three in one, and the one is three. And here we go with a little rhythm. One is God, for He is the first and the last. Alone, He is all-encompassing, self-sufficient, self-existent, and self-revelational. He alone, just by himself, is enough and plenty. The one can stand alone. The Lord is God and He is one. Now, one plus God is the majority, that's two. Thus, one plus one is two because Jesus included us in His death and resurrection. We qualify under the theme of the book of John. We are the whomsoevers. And considering three. Three is superior, and each point accompanies the other two points. Three is one, and three includes one and two. In the case of God, one is three. Now, three is superior to anything more than three because God is superior and He is first, the middle and the last, the beginning and the end. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, He is one, the one is three, and the three are one. Three always includes the numbers one and two, which includes me and you, always. I don't know about you, but I can't help but to marvel at the mysterious oneness of the Father, Son, and Spirit, who is one, especially as was manifested by the Lord Jesus in His brief life here as the Son of Man. Yet the Lord prayed before His crucifixion, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Think about it. Romans 8:32. He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We who believe are organically one with Christ. We are identified with Christ who lives in us. It is this identification which makes coming into the likeness of the Son possible, as the greater includes the lesser. Colossians 3:3. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I'm Social Porter, and you've been listening to Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation, brought to you semi-live by Living in His Name Ministries. James Neal, always with the inside scoop at the Skyland Barbershop. Kevin, Tommy, and Perry of the Mebane Freedom League. Towels Cottages on Greenville Highway. Dan Barber at Western Auto. Good old Eddie, down at Area 22 Guitars in the thriving metropolis of Brevard. And, oh yeah, Jeff and Karen of Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Menger Quartet, Stan Getz, John Schofield, Andreas Wollenweider, Stefan Grappelli, and Larry Carlton. All music uses licensed by BMI. Jesus prayed, John 17:20-21. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This prayer clearly conveys God's desire that man should share and enter into the oneness of the divine Trinity. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the three-in-one God now dwells in his believers according to Ephesians 4:6, to live in oneness with him and with one another. If you'd like, check out John 14:20 also. Ultimately, God desires that all his believers be built up into the one body of Christ as the house of God to express the oneness of our great King. Friends, let us take action and do Colossians 3:2, which says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, and be at peace as you go your way. Drive carefully and pray for your neighbor. Put your thinking cap on and think, think, think. We are not called to blind obedience." Amen and amen.